apathy, اللامبالاه. How do we share when they don't care? If somebody's apathetic, how do we share when they don't care? To be clear, the Muslim or any other believer is the one who says, I believe that God exists. The atheist is the one who says, I don't believe God exists. The agnostic says, I don't know, or maybe he even says, nobody could know. But guess what? All three of these categories, the believer, the atheist, or the agnostic, they may care. It could be the case that all three of them have researched this issue in depth. They've come to different conclusions, but they still studied the issue. However, the apatheist, if you will, the one who is apathetic, doesn't care at all. He's not trying to take this argument or that. He's not convinced by one or the other. He's just saying, I don't care. So, first and foremost, what are some of the challenges when dealing with these people? One of the biggest challenges is that we live in a secular society. And in a secular society, individuality is the most sacred thing. Being an individual, my unique self, this is the most sacred thing in the secular society. Why is it the case that so many people assemble a diverse set of beliefs despite the fact that many of their ideas are mutually exclusive, contradictory, incompatible? Why? Because by bringing all these ideas together, even if they're incompatible, it is personalized. It is unique to them, which highlights just how special they are. And for many people, being unique is a higher priority than coherence. Simply put, individuality supersedes truth. As long as apathy represents my authentic feelings, as long as I'm representing my authentic feelings through my apathy, then I'm not concerned about being right or wrong, whether it's true or whether it's false. This is one huge challenge. Now, did the Prophet ﷺ warn us about this? Absolutely. The Prophet ﷺ told us about a day that would come. يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا أو يمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا. A day will come when a man will be a Muslim in the morning and then he'll be a disbeliever in the evening, or he'll be a believer in the evening and then be a disbeliever in the morning. As in something so, it's like it's trivial. Just switching my faith, like it's no big deal. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ described and said, authentic hadith, لا يأتين على الناس زمان لا يبالي المرء بما أخذ المال أمن حلال أم من حرام. Indeed, a time will come when a man won't care where he's getting his money from, whether it's halal or haram, won't make a difference. اللامبالاه, apathy, I just don't seem to care. So how do we deal with such people? That's the big question, right? How do you give da'wah? This is a young man came to me recently, a little while ago, and said, can you give a khutbah on this topic? Okay. So how do we give da'wah to somebody who just doesn't care? Well, I would like to confront this issue from three different perspectives. Number one, clinically. Number two, intellectually. And number three, emotionally. So let's go through all three. The first one, clinically, it's when you realize that this person's apathy towards God is actually part of a much bigger, broader problem. They have apathy towards everything. And essentially what I'm talking about is a person who is clinically depressed. They don't have the motivation to get out of bed, to eat, to function in society. Such a person needs some serious work, therapy, whatever the case may be. The root of their depression, PTSD, trauma, their chemical imbalance, whatever it may be, it needs to be confronted head on. These are the extreme cases. This person's apathetic, but look at his whole life is falling apart. Now, we're not talking necessarily about that one. That one needs their own special category. What about the normally functioning people who their apathyism is exclusively towards God? I go to work and I function normally, but I have this apathetic attitude exclusively for God. How do we deal with them? Like I said, two more methods. Number one is intellectually. Instead of talking about God, because they clearly don't care, talk about what they do believe in. Apathy towards religion comes from a subconscious comfort that all of their happiness exists now and will persist indefinitely without God. Therefore, since they don't care about God, start by chipping away at their idols. Ask them, what does give you happiness? Remind them that those sources of happiness, whatever it may be, they will not persist forever. Break their idol worship by showing them that their idols will eventually betray them. You've invested so much into your job and your status and your fun and your vacations, and you think to yourself, if I just keep doing this, then the world's gonna keep rewarding me. These are my idols that I'm putting as gods. They will all betray you eventually. Then, inshallah, they may develop room to discuss religion. In short, you've removed their apathy. Even if they act like they were unaffected, you've planted a seed and it takes time to grow, inshallah. Now, some might say, I don't believe, and I don't need evidence for my position. Unnecessary. I don't need any evidence for my position. My answer to such a person is what? If you were in trouble, if you were in a bad spot, then this God question, would it come to mind? Not only would it come to mind, but you'd probably skip right past all the questioning and all the evidence and jump right to sincere worship and begging for help from God. Therefore, when you say, I don't believe and I don't care, what you're really saying is, I'll translate it for you, what you're really saying is, I'm too comfortable to care. Well, there's a term for someone who is so comfortable that they disregard the provider of that comfort, a spoiled brat. Simply put, a spoiled brat. This is the issue with affluence. The more stuff we have, the more those things take from our time to both earn them and also maintain them. This is the issue with technology. As many great blessings that we have from it, at the same time, this technology is increasingly demanding our attention, so many avenues for entertainment, thus leaving less and less bandwidth for meditation and reflection. So after you've made these good points, hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you can expect that some of them, unfortunately, might go into a bit of a panic. I've seen this. They start to realize you're making a little too much sense right now. And they start asking rapid-fire questions, like a drowning person flailing their arms. So here's some of the popular objections that you might hear, which you should be ready for. And hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you get used to answering them. Because, you know, like FAQs, frequently asked questions, comes all the time. Question, if God is all good, and if God is all powerful, why does evil exist? Answer, because life is a test and overcoming evil is the greatest kind of good. Next. See how easy that is? You guys can answer these questions. They're not that tough. Question, can God create a rock so big that he can't lift it? Answer, you're asking me if God can create a liftable, unliftable rock. It's like asking me if God can create a married bachelor. The answer is, your request is incoherent gibberish. You're not making any sense. The problem is not with God. The problem is with you not making a coherent request. Make a coherent request and the answer will be yes, of course God can do it. You need to fix your words first. You can't ask nonsense. Question number three. If God is all-knowing of the future, how can we have free will? Say, oh, well, if the weatherman can perfectly predict the weather tomorrow, does that mean he controls the weather? You guys see the point? Obviously not. So there's a lot of very simple, rational answers to these very somewhat childish questions, and that's fine. However, in some instances, unfortunately, the intellectual method won't work. Why? Because as the saying goes, and this is a very powerful expression, I love it a lot, it is useless to attempt to reason a man out of a thing he was never reasoned into. I'm going to say that again. Really think about this quote because it's powerful. It is useless to attempt to reason a man out of a thing he was never reasoned into to begin with. What am I saying? In other words, he has reached this point of apathy due to emotionality. And therefore, it is emotionality that may be the best vehicle to drive him out. I know we all like to think of ourselves as very rational people, but human beings are very emotional creatures. Which is why the third topic is how to affect this person who has pure apathy, how to affect them emotionally. I think it's the most powerful one. First and foremost, remember that every human has a fitrah. We're all born with a fitrah. And that fitrah wants to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he can say, he can claim that he's apathetic, but to be perfectly honest with you, it's probably a front. He's probably faking it. And to be more specific, it's probably sour grapes. Does anybody know, do you guys know the expression sour grapes? The idea that you want something, but it's too hard to get. And so because you want it and you try for it and you realize it's too hard, you say, ah, it wasn't that good anyway. Those grapes that I was jumping for, I wanted them, I couldn't jump high enough, therefore, they're probably sour anyhow. In other words, when this person says, I'm apathetic towards God, what they're really saying is, I know that the truly spiritual path is hard. So I pretend I don't care. Deep down, I do care. I wish I could be righteous and enlightened. I wish I was on a noble path, but I think it's too hard. Why? Because I don't know anybody that makes it look easy. I don't know anybody that makes it look appealing. I don't know anybody that makes it look like it's worth the effort, and that's where you and I come in. That is our job. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always sent his message through a messenger. Allah ta'ala doesn't just send a book. Allah ta'ala sends a book Revelation with what? The guidance has to come with a messenger, a man who is a living example of something people will want to aspire to. Even people who don't know anything about any prophet will create their own prophetic models, whether it be in fictitious movies or stories or whatever the case may be. The hero that doesn't behave atheistically, he doesn't behave selfishly. We know atheism is what? Survival of the fittest, right? Take care of myself and I let everybody who's weak, let them die. That's the atheistic model, technically. But everybody looks up to the person who is the opposite. I don't care what you say you believe. Everybody looks up to the person who embodies self-sacrifice for the ideals that are rooted in something greater, rooted in God, greater than himself. Even the most staunch apatheist will be in awe of a truly righteous person. Even the enemies of the Prophet respected and admired him. So brothers and sisters, be a hero. Think about how many movies, think about how many television shows have the plot in which there's some sort of a meteor coming from space and it's going to destroy the world. Or maybe there's alien invaders coming down and then these heroes stand up and fight them. If it's the meteor, who's the hero? The physicist genius who finds a way to destroy it and send it off course, whatever the case is. In the case of the aliens, it's those tough fighters, superheroes that fight the alien invaders and save the day. However, let's get back to reality. The thing that is threatening us is us. The biggest danger to humanity is humanity itself. We human beings are the biggest threat to each other, which means that the hero is going to be the person who can convince the other person to be good instead of killing each other. So if you want to be a hero, actually follow the prophets and actually give da'wah. Get involved in speaking to people, changing hearts and minds. Be a real hero. Because believe me, they all look up to it. Why else would they take real money to watch fictitious movies, taking their real time in their finite lives to watch these fictitious movies just to bask in the glory of what heroism actually looks like? Because deep down, nobody can deny the fitrah. They wish they had those qualities. The apatheist says he's not interested in God, but he certainly is interested in what God can give him. And it's your job to show him, not tell him, but show him how to get exactly that. I remember recently, I was speaking to a Christian who, alhamdulillah, came to one of our interfaith events at the masjid, and I was making different points about the Bible. I was trying to make different, ask him questions, logical, different things, and each time I made a good point, he would laugh. Ha ha, he thought it was funny. And he seemed more culturally, to me, Allah knows, he seemed more culturally, nominally Christian, somewhat apathetic to the actual text, unfortunately. The only instance in which I felt I really got through to him was when I spoke about how we as Muslims memorize the Quran. He got very serious, picked up the Mus'haf, looked at it, looked at me. Finally, a moment of sincerity I felt. And he says, "You guys memorize this whole thing?" I was like, "Yeah, alhamdulillah, many of us, we do." That had the impact. Allah knows best, but it seems that he was thinking to himself, what type of love must you guys have to inspire you to such dedication and persistence? I wish I could love anything that much. I wish I could love anything that much. What would that love be like to be so dedicated, so persistent? All my logical points, as much as I enjoy them, I enjoy these intellectual pursuits of studying different faiths and contrasting and asking smart questions, and I wish that they were as effective as I want them to be. But let's be honest, humans are very emotional creatures, and therefore it's something different that's going to turn the key. So how can you be effective in this style of da'wah? Let's remember the proverb, hammuka ma hammaka. It's a nice Arabic proverb, hammuka ma hammaka, which means what? You worry about what's important to you. You worry about what's important to you, meaning what? If you want to know if Islam is actually important to you, do you worry about it? Do your worries translate to action? Do you actually care in a real way? The Prophet ﷺ told us what? مَنْ سَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَتُهُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيَّأَتُهُ فَذَٰلِكَ الْمُؤْمِنُ. Whoever rejoices when he does good deeds and he's saddened by his bad deeds, then that is the true believer. What do you actually care about? Do you genuinely feel happy when you're able to come to Jummah, pray your salawat, get closer to the Qur'an? Do you genuinely feel bad when you slip, make a mistake, do something haram, look, say, do the wrong thing? If so, this is a true sign of iman. Allah Ta'ala tells us, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say, it is the bounty of Allah and His mercy, this revelation, this is what we should be rejoicing in. And it is better than what they accumulate. Every other dunyawi thing, oh, I got this and I got that. That's nice. I don't really care. I memorized a new surah. I got close to the Quran. I attend these halaqat. My iman is on the way up. Your other stuff, that's cute. I'm glad you have toys. I'm not interested in toys that much. I may have a few. Maybe I have a lot. But that's not really what is important to me. As Allah Ta'ala tells us, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا. And is one who was dead, and we gave him life and made for him a light by which to walk amongst the people, like the one who is in darkness, never to emerge therefrom. Brothers and sisters, not even the disbeliever can deny the transformative effect of true iman. Iman gives you a confidence, a strength, and most importantly, an optimism that is completely unmatched. And that's what I would like to talk about in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam simin kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. How do we share when they don't care? How do we affect the apathetic? Optimism is inspiring. Even if the world is so evil that you feel as if the only escape is death. Like recently, a young soldier who decided to burn himself alive. Firstly, you should know that this feeling, that this world is so evil that I just want to get out of it, that feeling was shared by the Prophet ﷺ. I know, it might shock you to hear, but Allah Ta'ala tells us, لَعَلَّكَ بَاقِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Perhaps, O Muhammad ﷺ, you would kill yourself in grief that they do not believe, that they are not believers. So, what does that mean? That feeling of such grief, when you see injustice and evil and kufr and zulm, that feeling in your heart is to be human. However, to be optimistic, that's what makes you Muslim. We do not condone suicide, obviously. The Muslim is ultra optimistic. Even when the enemy army is right at your doorstep and threatening your life, and you don't know what they're going to do to you, you don't know how bad it's going to be, all you know is a fight is on its way. Even in that moment, Allah Ta'ala tells us exactly what you should be saying. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, never will we be struck except by what Allah has decreed for us. He is our protector, and upon Allah let the believers rely. In other words, yeah, you're threatening me with what? Shot here, cut there, death here. Whatever is nasib, it's going to happen. Whatever is written for me, it's going to happen. I trust in Allah. There's no getting out of it. There's no avoiding it. There's no delaying it. There's no advancing it. This is the attitude of the believer in the worst of circumstances. Next ayah, Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمْ أَنْ يُصِيبَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ أَوْ بِأَيْدِينَا فَتَرَبَّصُوا إِنَّ مَعَكُمُ تَرَبِّصُونَ. Say, do you await for us except one of the two best things? What do you think is going to happen when you attack us? Either we beat you or you beat us. If we win, that's good. If you kill us, shahada, martyrdom, that's good. Husnayain, two good things. That's how optimistic the believer is. On the flip side, let's take a look at your situation, enemy. وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَبَّسُ بِكُمْ أَنْ يُصِيبَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ أَوْ بِأَيْدِينَا. While we await for you that Allah will either afflict you with a punishment from himself or from our hands. In other words, if we win, then the punishment comes from us. And if you kill us, then there's going to come a day where you're going to die, you're going to pass away, and Allah is going to get you. So what is Allah Ta'ala telling us? So wait indeed, we are waiting with you. Subhanallah. Can you imagine this level of optimism? What is the conclusion? That the believers, we say, look, we have two possible ways of winning. And you disbelievers, you have two possible ways of losing. And those are the only options. Subhanallah, the believer's optimism is to such an extent that it is really unfathomable. It is really impossible optimism. And I'll give you an example. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, إِنْ قَامَتَ السَّاعَةُ وَفِي يَدِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَسِيلَهُ فَإِنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ لَا تَقُومَ حَتَّى يَغْرِزَهَا فَلْيَغْرِزْهَا. The Prophet says, if the final hour comes while you just have a little date palm shoot, a little tree that is in your hand, and you have a chance to plant it, I mean, imagine this. You see the whole universe is falling apart. This world is done. It's impossible. It doesn't even make sense. It's irrational. And I'm still that optimistic. If you still got a chance, still plant it. Subhanallah. That's amazing. What is the lesson? That the Muslim is incomprehensibly, unintelligibly optimistic. And they might even think that you're crazy. But they'll have no choice but to admire that optimism. And in a world of pessimists, Being optimistic is one of the best forms of da'wah, especially to the apathetic. And if that's not enough evidence for you, then let's really think about the situation of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. May Allah Ta'ala give them victory. Amin ya Rab. Let's consider the people of Gaza. How many people have embraced Islam after seeing the faith of these believers increase as their lives are being destroyed? Did the people of Palestine make any specific arguments? Did they have one-on-one conversations to argue and rationally explain anything, Islam, and show them different points? Do they even speak the same language? Are they in the same area? Not at all. And yet thousands upon thousands of people in this city, around this country, around the world, people embracing Islam. No argument is being made. They're just seeing true faith at work. Let's flip the question. How many people in Israel have embraced Islam because of us and our example? How many of them are like, you know, those guys in Fishers, Indiana, I mean, that's amazing. Probably zero. You guys get my point? The idea of us converting people over there, we think that's impossible. And yet the people over there, they're converting us. How? What's the argument? Subhanallah, it is pure faith and optimism. As much as I love these intellectual arguments, and as much as I think everybody needs to learn how to defend their deen, how to make rational points, how to be intelligent about Islam, I know that witnessing true faith is the strongest form of da'wah. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the intellectual arguments to rationally call people to Islam, but even more so, may Allah Ta'ala give us especially in this upcoming month of Ramadan, a faith that is so sincere, even the apathetic are forced to ask, what do you have that I don't have? Where can I get it? Because I want it. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت باركت ربنا وتعاليت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كثيرا وأقم الصلاة